And welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Kevin.
Bill, welcome big times. Back. Big times. Thank you. It's good to be back. Yeah, little vacation on the side, but we continued the radio broadcast. I took the equipment from place to place and were
sure
able to broadcast from various places around the world.
So you had a trailer and a van and
nope.
All the equipment that we pack in here into this huge suitcase?
Just a suitcase. Put it all in a suitcase and put it through
suddenly,
security in various airports around the world.
I hear the music for Mission Impossible playing through my head.
Okay. Well, today, Bill, we are back to the vaccination or the shot, and this would be, I guess, segment number 4,647 on that one, but it is the issue of the day. I don't think I have ever seen anything more controversial, more challenging, more of an imposition upon the personal liberties of the individual in the history of this country. I mean, would you agree with that? I mean, going all the way back, maybe a few forced eugenic things happened in the first part of the 20th century. The Kerry Buck thing. I mean, there were some government imposition upon people's bodies to, force them into a sterilization. These sorts of things have occurred since the beginning of the 20th century, but nothing like this. Drawing in, what is it now, 85% of the U.S. population forced into the vaccination/shot. And now unvaxxed Germans are banned from food stores. My dad wrote a slight note, tongue-in-cheek, what is this, the mark of the beast? Don't have the mark, you can't go shopping.
Can't go shopping.
It's kind of, we're not drawing any conclusions here, we're just simply saying, wow, the tyranny, the beastly principle, and I've used this before, the beastly principle is on the march in our present systems. Vaccine mandates are everywhere now. Tens of thousands of people are being laid off from their jobs. As of Monday, what is it, Washington State, Oregon State employees saying goodbye, as well as medical personnel. One little hospital, Medford, Oregon, which happens to be my stomping ground where my folks live in that general area of the Rogue Valley, 454 workers fired. Now, this is not some huge city. This isn't a gigantic hospital. This is little Medford, Oregon. 454 workers were fired. That includes 180 nurses. I don't know who was left, but I'm guessing there were a few left.
So now we have a crisis in healthcare workers, which then leads to a crisis.
Which would lead to more regulations, which would lead to more tyranny, which would lead to
more crisis,
which leads to
more tyranny,
which leads to, so we see how this goes.
Right.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more to this in just a moment. At least a third of the members of our churches, maybe a half of the members of our church, maybe in some cases, three quarters of the members of our churches are affected by these mandates right now. So this is probably the most relevant issue you can be talking about in the church. There is a fight going on right now, Bill. There is a fight going on. It's involving Southwest Airlines. It's involving local school districts. It's involving Christian schools. It involves churches. Sometimes there's a mandated vaccine to even attend a church in Australia. That's the way it is. Wow.
Well, two people were going to participate in a kidney transplant. One was a donor. One was the recipient.
That was in Denver.
Yeah, they were denied because neither one of them would be vaxxed. So the recipient was taken off the list the waiting list.
Yeah.
So this affects people's lives.
Yeah.
It affects their freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't get your shot, you don't get treated. All right. Well, we'll talk more to this in just a moment in the Generations broadcast. What in the world is John Piper telling us? Get the shot. Hey, experience your freedom in Christ. Go get the shot. Talk about John Piper's take on the vaccine in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
We are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Bill Jack in studio. And today, Pastor John Piper is moseying up to the microphone, or moseying up to the blogosphere, and he's encouraging Christians to be vaccinated. He says, "My aim in this article is to encourage Christians to be vaccinated, if they can do so with a good conscience, judicious medical warrant." And he presents the medical warrant immediately. It says, "Nearly all COVID-19 deaths in the United States are now in people who are not vaccinated, and therefore go get your shot." What did he say? In the article. I don't think there's any getting around it.
No.
Now, earlier on, he wasn't as enthusiastic about it.
No, in fact, in a previous article that he published back in January of 21, he said, "Can I take a vaccine made from aborted babies?" That's the title of the article. And he makes this quote, "God alone has the infinite wisdom to manage an entire world of sin in which he can turn horrible things for good. And God honors integrity and principled action that is rooted in his beauty, his truth, and his worth."
Sounds like he's dragging his feet on the use of aborted fetuses.
Yeah.
Sounds to me. I don't know. I'm not sure that he deals with the ethical argument in that paper, and I wish that more pastors would. But he starts out by saying, "Hey, nearly all COVID-19 deaths in the United States are now in people who weren't vaccinated." Well, but what about this? Like, just came out this morning, speaking during an interview with Fox News Monday afternoon, former Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Robert Redfield said that more than 40% of people who have recently died from Wuhan coronavirus in Maryland were fully vaccinated. Quote, here's the quote, "A lot of times people may feel it's a rare event that fully vaccinated people die. I happen to be the senior advisor to Governor Hogan in the state of Maryland. The last 6 to 8 weeks, more than 40% of people who died in Maryland were fully vaccinated." So I guess my question is, which is it? Is it more than 40%, or is it, you know, whatever we're finding here? John Piper effectively says it's closer to 90%, 95%, 97%. He has all his data, and he throws his data out. But then I take a look at this most recent statement from the former Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director, Robert Redfield. He says it's about 40% of people who died in Maryland were fully vaccinated. Also, a British government study found that the rates of reported infections as COVID-19 infections were double in vaccinated persons over unvaccinated. For 40 to 59-year-olds, for everybody over 30 years of age, all the way up, the rates of reported infection were higher in vaccinated persons than unvaccinated. By the way, I can send you the link if you're interested in that report. That is not just some British media thing. This is a British government-funded study that found that rates of reported infections were double in vaccinated persons over unvaccinated for 40 to 59-year-olds. And now the rates of death may actually be lower in unvaccinated than in the vaccinated. Now, this is my argument. It could be. I'm not saying it is. I'd say it could be. Why? Now, listen. Here's the reasoning. Most unvaccinated persons don't test, and they don't report when they get COVID. Most unvaccinated persons just get over it, and they move on. So the ratio of those unvaccinated who die, divided by the numbers of unvaccinated that actually get COVID and get over it, may very well be lower than those vaccinated that get the disease and die. Now, finally, here's the other thing. You have to believe the data. So, and again, the question, who do I believe? John Piper's data? Or this guy from the CDC, or former director of the CDC, who says it's 40% vaccinated are dying? So again, who is it that you believe? You have to believe the CDC has collected all the data, well, which they haven't, and you have to believe that the CDC is truthful about the data. Now, admission here, I've had COVID. Did I just say that? I've had COVID, and my family has had COVID.
Wait, I got a mask. Wait.
That's all right. You'll be okay. I got the antibodies now.
I've had COVID, too.
Oh, okay. Most of my friends have had, including you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm your friend.
And we lost our smell, and we got over it.
I didn't lose my smell.
Oh, I did.
I still stink.
Well, we lost our smell, and we could not smell our own stink.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So most of my friends have gotten COVID. We got the antibodies. We contributed to the herd immunity for the cause of the health of the community. And by the way, nobody's commending us for that. I've been waiting for a thank you note from the President of the United States. He has not sent me a thank you note for rushing in, getting the COVID, getting over it, providing something of a herd immunity to my community. And by the way, a few of my friends have gotten the shot. It's okay. It's all right. But John Piper he's presenting the data, but not all the data. That's one of the issues here. It's not so cut and dried. That's my first problem with the good pastor, that he should bring more of the data to bear. Of course, a fair amount more to say about it. Basically, his argument is this. We have freedom from big government, so use your freedom to submit to big government mandates and go get the shot. That's just roughly the argument. And I have a hard time figuring that one out. Now, Brother John Piper has had some wonderful gifts to share with the church, and I don't think he shines on this one. That's all I'm saying.
I think his logic is really, really squishy on this one.
Well, he says, don't be afraid of the shot. I think what he's really saying is trust the data, trust the government, trust the science, and just go with it. Get over the qualms. Now, he doesn't go after the government mandate as I wish he would. He does say you don't have to be vaccinated when the government tells you to. Okay, that's agreed. But his major point is, you know, don't respond in fear and then not get the shot. Get into, you know, that clinic in full faith. Get rid of your fear. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid of peer pressure. This is a big thing. Don't be afraid of peer pressure from those who don't get the shot. Now, it seems to me, Bill, that the greater temptation is to fear the peer pressure of the 95% of people getting the shot and glaring at the rest of us for not getting the shot. You know what I'm saying? If he doesn't talk about that, he's most concerned that people aren't getting the shot, and they're not getting the shot because they're afraid of, I guess, the small minority of people who are being completely ostracized from society because they're not getting the shot. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Seems to me that the greater fear would be those that are afraid of losing their jobs, losing access to most of the facilities in this world, transportation, medical care, and grocery stores.
It doesn't make any sense that he would weigh in on this the way he's done.
Another big point that needs to be made here, Bill, is that if governments continue along this path, then I think we're going to see governments controlling more of the chemicals you put in your body. And if the government can mandate you to get that shot and to put that mRNA in your body, the government can force you to take abortifacients and chemical abortions. Forced government abortions are probably on the way. And you know why? There's a larger social good involved. Do you understand this? There's a larger social good involved in forcing everybody on planet Earth to get the shot. There's also another larger social good involved in the minds of 70, 80, 90% of our government officials that would love to see population controlled and therefore forced abortions, or at the very least, the forced use of the IUD, and thereby forcing you to get at least two or three abortions a year.
And if they can come in and mandate this, and they can, for our benefit and our health, then why are they not monitoring the number of push-ups, sit-ups, and burpees that I do every day for the good of my health? And then why do they not monitor what I eat, what I put on my plate? And why do they not monitor what I see where it goes?
You know where it's going. Oh, sure you know where it's going, Bill. What's the ultimate biblical principles involved here, which I wish would be brought up a little more regularly? I would say, first and foremost, all COVID-19 vaccine mandates are wrong, just wrong. Prevention is not the government's job. And by the way, medical care is not the government's job either. But prevention, we get into the mode in which we're going to try to prevent every single disease. And government's going to mandate the prevention of all of these things, Bill. There is no end to where government's going to go with that. Now, they have a responsibility to go after criminals and defend the nation from military invasions. And that's what governments are supposed to do, as determined by Almighty God. But there should be Christian liberty to make decisions as to what you and I put into my own body. Now, under duress, should you violate your conscience? Now, I would argue that you should not violate the Sixth Commandment if you believe that the vaccine could kill you or cause serious health problems for your children or your family. That risk is just too high, then you say no to it. Also, I encourage people to appeal to authority and ask for exemptions that are appropriate, as in the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who did not want to put certain foods into their bodies. And I believe that we should do what we can to prevent that from happening.
So here's the argument from Piper. When you submit to a human institution, 1 Peter 2:13, you don't do it as the slave of that institution. You do it in freedom because you are slaves of God, not man. God owns his people by creation and redemption.
Well, so far, so good.
Well, but wait a minute. That means...
He's saying we're not slaves of the government. That's
right,
true. We're not slaves
right.
of the government.
Okay. So then he goes on, so Christians are owned by no man, no society, no company, no clan, no family, no school, no military, no government, no political interest group. God alone owns us, and God alone rules us. We are not ruled by any man. We are free from all human ownership and rule. When we submit, we do so for the Lord's sake, because he said to. Wait. That's where he gets off.
Yeah.
God's ownership of his people strips every decisive entitlement from human authority. It turns every act of human compliance into worship.
Yeah, but what he's saying is that then we have to submit to every single ordinance and not allow for any request for exemption, never resisting, never calling governments to account on what they're supposed to be doing as defined by God's law, never holding governments down to their responsibilities as laid out by the law of God, and never pushing back on tyranny. You know, and he draws from 1 Corinthians 7:21 to 23, and again, this is Pastor John Piper drawing from 1 Corinthians 7:21 to 23, where it says, if you can be free from the unnecessary servitude and mandates of men, use it rather, you are bought with a price, be not the servants of men. He uses that verse, but then in the end, we don't wind up pushing back against those forces that are forcing us to go against our conscience on issues like this.
I want to read this one again. It turns every act of human compliance into worship. When we submit, we do so for the glory of our one owner and master. Life is radically Godward. Now, when we submit, it turns every act of human compliance into worship. That is not true. That is not true. What would he say to those who risked their lives by rescuing babies that were abandoned by the Romans in the first century on the walls to be fed to the wolves? It was against the law to do so. Should they have submitted to the authorities and not done that? What about slavery? What about Wilberforce? What about those abolitionists in this country? What about those who stand up for life every day?
Well, I think he would make some exceptions to that, Bill, but I think the bottom line here is he's not seeing this as an opportunity to fight back against a tyranny and a government enforcement of putting something into your body that you find reprehensible. Although he does say that, you know, you'd go with your conscience on this.
But
ultimately, his point in the article is to get you to realize that this is a really good thing and everybody should get the vaccination. And therefore, you know, let's not develop any kind of a conscience against this thing.
And let's not develop a biblical apologetic about this. Let's just do what the government says. Because he says, my aim is to encourage Christians to be vaccinated.
Yeah, exactly. That's his goal here. Well, friends, we've talked about this before, but we would caution on issues like this. Number one, the mandate itself is out of order and should be called, whether it be the corporations that are pressing this upon us or whether it be the governments that are forcing it upon us, we should stand against this and say this is a matter of individual conscience. Secondly, let's be careful about science that is not done in the fear of God, and that's the way things are now. And this science is to be called into question, especially that science that uses 6 billion people as a guinea pig within 6 months And nobody really knows the long-term consequences of this kind of thing. This is probably the most risky thing that governments and the medical system has ever done in the history of the world. Certainly, using 6 to 7 billion people around the globe as a guinea pig, it seems to me that anybody who still has a modicum of rationality about them would agree with me that this is just utterly insane. And moreover, on top of that, I think we should have a longer discussion. Evidently, the discussion is over as far as the good pastor is concerned, but we should have a longer discussion on whether to use aborted fetuses for this purpose. Christian pastors should be grappling with the question of whether to use the skin of Jews for lampshades or fetal tissue derived cell lines as the substantial source for the vaccine, which is the case with the J&J. We should be talking about this. We should be bringing this out to our congregations. We don't use the skin of Jews for lampshades. And I think we should be very, 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 very concerned about using these fetal tissue-derived cell lines as the substantial source, meaning without it, you would not have a J&J vaccine. That's the point here. And without it, you would not have a J&J vaccine. It's entirely dependent upon this aborted fetus. So, again, I think pastors should be equipping the man of God for every good work in this brave new world scenario we find ourselves in.
Yeah. I mean, he says that you are free. And then he goes on to say, submit. You know, that is nuts. He even says you are free. He says, you have thought hard about the implications of fetal cell lines in the production and testing of the vaccines. But in a previous article, he condemned such vaccines.
Well, sort of. I don't think he's coming out with anything of a strong statement on this at this point. Friends, bottom line here, tyranny is a bigger problem than COVID. I think I stand with Abraham Kuyper on this one.
Yeah, I do.
And Abraham Kuyper is interacting with the question of what to do with smallpox. And by the way, smallpox had a kill ratio of what, 30-40%? Okay, so it wasn't like the 0.1%. It was approximately 300 to 1,000 times more dangerous than COVID-19. Okay, so Abraham Kuyper, the probably the most famous Christian worldview guy and Christian politician in the history of the modern world. Abraham Kuyper, very much respected by just about every denomination, at least for the last 150 years. Abraham Kuyper in the 1880s is writing on the smallpox vaccination. He says vaccination certificates will have to go. The form of tyranny hidden in these vaccination certs is just as real a threat to the nation's spiritual resources as the smallpox epidemic itself. Tyranny is a bigger problem than COVID, and I wish the good pastor from Minnesota would agree with us on this. The danger of governmental tyranny will be worse than COVID. We're talking forced abortions here. You ready for it? You ready for forced abortifacients? You ready for this? Now, we need to find good strategies for opposing the tyranny. Granted, you can refuse the shot. You can fight the matter in the courts, get involved in the political process, elect godly candidates who have some backbone, such that they fear God and don't fear the media and Fauci and the rest of the crowd. Well, that's what we need to do, and develop good strategy on these issues. Here's Jeff Botkin provides a few helpful points, and he just sent this out to some of us. He says there's no official vax mandate from the White House or OSHA as of yet. Just keep that in mind. No employee of any American business or governmental entity has ever lost a case regarding his religious exemption for a vaccine. And employers are liable to pay for any harm done to an employee by the vax if they personally require it. And he says, do not submit to the shot out of desperation to stay employed. Keep careful record of all correspondence between you and the supervisors. And get fired. If they have denied your religious accommodation, you do have a case. You can sue them. Possibly recover all it costs you. He goes over a number of steps for successfully getting your religious exemption. And I can send that to anybody's interested, just email me at host@generations.org. This is really helpful. It's a super practical approach to handling any case where somebody is just right there making the decision and trying to understand how in the world to deal with this corporate vaccine mandate. Well, friends, that wraps up the Generations broadcast. You could email me at host@generations.org and certainly get a copy of the book, The Story of Freedom, to get a sense for what people have done for the last 800 years to try to solidify some Western freedoms instead of tossing your children and grandchildren into gulags and prison camps, which is where we are headed. So I encourage you to the book, The Story of Freedom, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.